Indeed, our hope is Jesus. Matter of fact, it doesn't matter what your difficulty is, what you're facing tonight, the truth is, our hope is Jesus. As I said last night, the problem in the world, no matter how you diagnose it, the problem is related to sin, and the answer is Jesus. What a wonderful truth that is for us tonight. You know, he had to get to a point where he was in physical bondage in a jail cell to recognize that he needed help from outside of himself. The Bible tells us that all of us are in bondage. Matter of fact, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 4, verses 3 through 7, "Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." In the fullness of time. It was almost 4,000 years ago that prophecies began to be told about how Jesus would come and what were the circumstances surrounding it. And specifics: he would be born in Bethlehem. He would be born of a virgin. He would be a governor that would rule, and all these kinds of things. And Israel began to look for their Messiah. When the fullness of time would come, well, when would that be? What would be the perfect time for Jesus to come into the world so that the world was ready for him? Would it be during a glorious time, or would it be when people are, our communication was rich and it could easily travel? We would think today, for instance. You know, I said last night, if Jesus would have been born today, they would announce it on Twitter, you know, instead of the angels doing it or something, you know. And we sometimes may look at different times when there would be a better time. But the world was ready for a Savior. Romans were in control, and the world had tried Greek philosophy, and they had tried world conquering, and they had tried the beautiful edifices of Babylon, and now they were under Roman rule, and roads were well-traveled, and all these kind of things were happening. But the fact is, the reason that it was the fullness of time was because God said so. The reason it was the perfect time is because God said it was the perfect time for Him to come. And you know, this evening, you have to realize that you don't have to be in bondage. The truth is, you may be free from a jail cell, but be bound by your sin. And yet we know there are people who maybe are in a jail cell who are free from their sin. It was into a world of confusion. It was into a world of darkness. It was into a world that seemed to have no hope. A world in turmoil, if you will. At the Prince of Peace, the hope came into the world. I want us to just look at a couple of things from this passage of Scripture that I think will help us. First off, let's look at the prison before He was coming. The Bible says again in Galatians 4, "Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world." In Romans chapter 6, it says, "Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." The fact is, friends, we were all, every one of us in this room, matter of fact, everyone in the world ever born, with the exception of Jesus Christ, was born with a sin nature. And you don't have to be a murderer and all these kind of things to be under the condemnation of God. Actually, you're already born under the condemnation of God. And you just have to commit one tiny little sin. In your eyes, it's a tiny little sin, maybe. Because your sin's never as bad as the next guy's, right? And the Bible says if you're guilty of one, you're guilty of the whole law. Every bit of it. So that means if I've ever had a wrong thought, then I'm guilty of all the things that happen in the law. It's interesting. People like to say, well, I believe you keep the Ten Commandments. That's how you get to heaven. Okay, name them. Can you name all ten? And if you could name them, do you obey them? So you've never lied? Never? You've never had a lustful thought? You say, well, I haven't committed adultery by Jesus' definition? Because he said if you look at someone to lust after them, you've committed adultery. Never had a hateful thought towards someone? That's actually murder, according to Jesus' definition, if you hate your brother. You see, it's an impossible standard. Matter of fact, that's the whole point of the law. The Bible says the law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. In other words, it was to teach us, this is crazy, I can't possibly do this. Exactly. That's why our hope is Jesus. Because he came to free us from all these things. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 says, while they promised them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. You know what's interesting? People like to say, hey, you're free. You know, all you people who serve God, you got all these sets of rules and so forth. Do you know, I've met a lot of people that serve the devil that has a set of rules. You're like, no, I do my own thing. You know, my grandfather tried to convince me of that. My grandfather tried to convince me that he could put down his cigarette anytime he wanted to. You know the last thing my granddaddy did before he died? He took a puff of a cigarette because it told him what to do. See, somebody's going to tell you what to do. I'd sure rather have God tell me what to do than the enemy tell me what to do. John Phillips says, by the time of Christ, the Jewish religion was bankrupt. The Sadducees and the Pharisees and the Herodians were the representative of Jewish thought. They had little enough in common except a determination to pay mere lip service to God. That's all it was, just going through the motions. The prison before his coming. But what about the planning of his coming? We've already mentioned this, but the timing. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. Jesus was born into a world of darkness. It's hard for us to imagine how God could become flesh and dwell on this earth, walk and live as we did. But that's exactly what the Bible tells us that he did. See, Jesus is not just a good teacher. People like to say that today, well, I think Jesus was a good teacher. Couldn't be. Couldn't be. Either he is God. Please understand, I'm not being disrespectful. Either he is God or he was a lunatic. Because he claimed to be God. He was totally deranged. If he wasn't God, then he was a bold-faced liar because he claimed to be God. You say, well, are you sure? Yeah, he claimed to be God enough that the Jews killed him for it. And they tried to do so on multiple other occasions. So yes, he was God. You're like, well, Pastor, explain to me how he could be fully man and fully God. I'll tell you what. When you get to heaven, you ask God that because I don't think I can fully explain it to you. I just know that's what God told us he did. What a blessing that is. The timing of his coming. But you think about all the technicalities of his coming. You think about the announcement of his birth and all the right people in the right places and the right everything coming together. A virgin would conceive and bear a son. He would be born in Bethlehem. So he had a Roman king who thought he was in control, give a decree that all the people should be taxed so that Joseph and Mary would end up in Bethlehem right at the time she was due so that she could have the baby in Bethlehem just like God said so. And yet they would be originally from Nazareth because Jesus would be called a Nazarene. And yet they would live sometime in Egypt because the Bible says he would call his son forth from Egypt. See, every bit of that God was orchestrating. What an incredible God we have. We see lastly the purpose of his coming. Why did he come in the fullness of time? Well, Galatians tells us that. To redeem them that were under the law. To redeem them. To buy them back. See, God made you. Every one of you in this room. The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. We believe very firmly, and I think creation screams it, and the Word of God certainly says so, that God created the world. It didn't just happen by chance. God created this world. And yet, we chose to rebel against Him. And now He wants to buy us back. That's what the word redeem means. He wants to buy us back. And He does so by His precious blood. He came to die. We have in our front yard a little manger scene. But leaning on the manger is a wooden cross. Because Jesus didn't come to stay as a babe in the manger. He came to die on a cross. And He did so because He wanted to redeem you. And He wanted to redeem me. He needed a perfect sacrifice, a perfect lamb to die in our place. And that's what He did. You're like, well, that was the whole purpose of His coming? Absolutely. He wanted to redeem you. He wanted to restore a relationship with you. He wants to have a relationship with you. And He did so. But He also came to release us from all the bondage that sin brought to us and release us from hopelessness. You know, it's interesting. You meet people on the street and you ask them, what are the top five things you think the world is pursuing? But if you give those five things, many of them will say something like, well, I just want hope. That's found in Jesus. I just want everybody to love everybody. That's found in Jesus, for God so loved the world. I just want the world to be at peace. He is the Prince of Peace. The truth is, what the world is desperately seeking, He provides. He provides. And friend, I don't know where you are tonight in your relationship with God, but He longs to have a relationship with you. But I want to tell you, He's not going to force you to have that relationship. It's a choice you get to make. You say, well, isn't He God and couldn't He make me? Well, yes, He could make you make that choice, but He's left it up to you. But I want to tell you tonight, He would love for you to come to Him. He would love for you to. Matter of fact, that's what this Christmas season is really all about. It's about proclaiming Him as the Savior of the world. And the truth is, some of the verses and things that we read about in the Word of God that predict His coming and so forth, the tail end of those verses tell us that He's going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. One day He's coming to rule on this earth again. I don't know when that's going to happen. You say, when could it happen? Any moment. Any moment. Any moment. It's been 2,000 years and people thought He was coming. It may be another 1,000 years, but I tell you, He's coming back. He wants a relationship with you. Tonight, if you don't know Him as your Savior, I'm going to tell you, He longs to have that relationship with you. And all you have to do is repent of your sins and trust Him as your Savior. That's what we wanted to communicate to you tonight, is that precious, precious news. Would you bow together with us? The choir is going to sing in just a moment. No one looking around, just want to ask you quickly tonight. Perhaps you're watching online via our website, or maybe here in this room, you'd say, Pastor, the truth is, I've never repented of my sins and trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I guess I knew the story of Jesus, but I've never really accepted it as my own. But tonight, I would love to do that. Just in the quietness of your seat, you can pray a very simple prayer and ask God to forgive you of your sins. Tell Him that you repented of those sins. You don't want to live that way anymore. And that you want Him to come in and be your Lord and Savior and have the wonderful Christmas, understanding the true meaning. You can do that tonight, friend, if you just simply pray to Him and ask Him for those things.